Thank you,
brother.
Preacher.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that very much. All right. Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And it's been my joy to be here. This is my first time in this area. Of course, I've known about this ministry for quite a number of years because of their radio stations. And we at Tabernacle broadcast on this station, or these stations, actually. And we appreciate that they allow us to do that. And we try to contribute to the radio stations on a monthly basis because we're broadcasting on the stations. And I'm glad for those who listen to the program and trust it's a blessing to you. I pastored Tabernacle 21 years, and during that time, of course, my voice was heard over the station. And now Dr. Logan, who is our pastor, continues that. And we appreciate your station carrying that. Thank you so much. And we have three radio stations ourselves, WTBI, AM and FM, and Internet. And if you'll download our app, you can also receive our station 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as it goes around the world. Amen. Who would have ever thought it, that by radio we could go around the world? Isn't that amazing? But that's the case. And this station as well does that, and we appreciate that so much. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Our Father, we're thankful today for this opportunity to open Thy Word again, look into its pages, and realize, Lord, from Your Word, that which we have need of. Would You direct us and guide us tonight, direct my thoughts and mind, that I might give to this congregation of people that which You've laid upon my heart. And I realize, Lord, I can give the points, and I can speak the words, but only the Holy Ghost can make it real to every heart and life. And would You touch lives tonight and help folk, we pray, through Thy Word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Before I preach, I'd like to say a word about the table at the back. I have a number of books back there, and I'll not mention all of those, but just to let you know that they're there. And if you're interested in any of them, why, they're available to you. And what you give for the books goes into a separate fund to reprint, because I don't have money and I don't go into debt for printing material. Amen. And so whatever you give goes to that. And then also, I tell folk my wife and I have enough to live on, but I don't have enough to travel the world. So any love offerings or honorariums or anything of that nature that I receive goes into that separate fund as well to be used for travel. Amen. And my wife and I, of course, live on what we have coming in personally. Amen. And that's just a conviction of my own. Amen. You don't have to do that, but that's what the Lord laid on my heart to do. And I represent the mission board and represent the missionaries. We have about 33 missionaries under the board. And so you pray for us. On the table is a newsletter, actually two newsletters. And if you will, take those. They're free. And then there are some brochures on our ministry. The mission board is different in that it's under and by and through strictly the local church. No outside members or whatever. The men of our church serve as the board, as they're elected by the church for a three-year term. And it's a little different than most mission boards, but we're doing the same thing that other mission boards do in helping the missionaries, getting them to the field, and then helping them while they're on the field. And part of my work is to travel to the mission fields and be a help and a blessing to them. And certainly I want to be that. And so you pray for me. I pastored for 40 years, and in the last 3 years, the Lord impressed upon my heart that it was time for me to step aside and let someone else pastor the church. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I do now. This is what the Lord had for me, and I didn't know it. I've been at this now about 3 years, and our pastor, almost 3 years, has been pastoring Dr. Joel Logan, and he's a blessing, and we appreciate him, and he's doing a great job. And Tabernacle is going forward. It's not going backward. It's going forward. And we're thankful for that. Souls are being saved. And new people have come into the church. And we're seeing some young couples that are coming in. And they're having babies right and left. And we have to enlarge our nursery and remodel our nursery. Isn't that good? You know, you can build a church by evangelism, but you can also build it by new babies too.
That's right. Amen.
And so we're thankful for that. So you pray for us that the Lord help us. I want to mention a couple of missionaries, and I can't give the name, but I have a couple of missionaries working in China, and one in particular working across the border into North Korea. And he's doing so through refugees, and we're getting the gospel into North Korea.
Amen.
And along with Mount Pisgah Printing in Oliver Springs, Tennessee, Brother Garvin Walls, they have printed already 320,000 John and Romans in the Korean language, and they're working on another 300,000 as well, and we're hoping to get those in. And they're working through refugees that are going across the border and back that are working in China. And then, of course, we have they have two drones, and they send these drones across the border, and they have contacts through the refugees with the people inside North Korea, and they send these drones across, directing them to the place where they want to land. They land, and someone comes and gets the material, and then they bring the drones back across.
Amen.
So any number of ways you can get the gospel out, amen?
Amen.
And so pray for that ministry,
amen,
that the Lord will bless and help in that.
Amen.
And I would give the name, but I think we're on the internet, and I don't want to do that to jeopardize, because they would probably be run out of the country, and we don't want that to happen. And so you pray for them. Then we have another ministry, of course, that takes Bibles to the underground church, and this brother is doing that as well, and both of these missionaries are under our board.
Amen.
And then we have missionaries scattered around the United States and then also in other countries as well, but you can take the newsletters and read about them in that. And then I have some books on the table you may be interested in. Some of you ladies may be interested in my wife's books. I know you're not looking for preaching material, and but my wife has a couple of books that she's written, and one is called The Crooked Stick, the first one she wrote, and it tells about her background, and her mom and dad were Mennonites in the Mennonite area in Lancaster area of Pennsylvania, and of course we met at Tabernacle. They moved to Greenville for her dad to go to Bob Jones University, and we met there, and married and had our children there and worked there and labored there. And she wrote the book on the crooked stick. And Dr. Seidler said God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line.
Amen.
And she took that as the title. And then about 3 years, 3 years ago, she started writing another book to minister to folk who are getting older and growing old. Dr. Charles Garrett over our radio station, he said, "We're not old. We're just growing old." And I appreciate that. I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know I was old until they told me I could go first into the dining hall. But I took advantage of that. But anyway, I'm past 70. I'm 76. But I don't intend to quit. I don't know where the place is to quit. Might as well keep going along the Lord let me. And so you pray for me that I can. But she wrote a book. When she was 72, she started writing the book. She said, "I'm 72, now what do I do?" And last Sunday, she turned 74, and she still works a job. She's a nurse and still works a job as well. And I told her, I said, "Honey, I got a new title for you." And she said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, you wrote that book, 'I'm 72, now what do I do?' And I got a new title for you now. And it's, 'I'm 74, and I don't want to do this anymore.'" So I don't know if she'll write that or not. But anyway, she got the title whether she gets the book or not. But check those books out, ladies, if you would. And then my sister, Sarah, who is 86 and still going strong. And so that gives me some hope. You know, I may have 10 more years. But Sarah was writing devotions for a newspaper, a sales paper, when she and her husband owned that. And she was also writing these and sending them out by way of the internet to her children, her grandchildren, and anybody else who wanted to read them. And I got to reading them, and I said, "Well, she's doing a pretty good job with this." And I encouraged her to put some of them in print.
Amen.
And so her book on daily devotionals is out there as well, and you may want to check that out. That'd be a blessing to some of you young people, as well as ladies and even men, for that matter.
Amen.
If you'd like to see that. And then I have, of course, the Preaching Through the Scriptures, 13 volumes that goes through books of the Bible and just various sermons through the books. and then other sermon booklets as well. My latest book is The Purpose of God, and I talk about the ministry God gave during the 40 years of ministering and serving with Dr. Seitler, and then, well, over 60 years altogether, but 40 years in the pastor of three churches. And I talk about the ministry and God's purpose in our lives, and that might be of interest to you as well. All right, open your Bible to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. This is a very familiar psalm. Many of you, no doubt, could quote it from memory. And if you couldn't quote the entire psalm, maybe you could quote several verses, I'm sure. And I think the text is, of course, verse 1 and 2, as we think about this psalm tonight. And I hope to be a blessing to you. And you pray for me as I preach. Beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for the preservation of the Lord? Amen. Amen. And the keeping power of the Lord. I'm glad that I'm kept by the power of God through faith. Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful for that tonight. But I want to preach tonight on this psalm, and we'll go verse by verse, and I'll try not to be too long-winded. And my watch says 15 minutes to 9, but that's a little fast. But anyway, we'll try not to be too long-winded tonight, but give you some thoughts out of this verse or out of this chapter. On this thought, help is on the way.
Amen.
Help is on the way. Have you ever needed help?
Yes, sir.
There have been times when you're going through some difficulties and difficult trials and troubles and maybe some things happening in the ministry, and sometimes those things come and you really just don't know which way to turn or what to do. And you're needing help, but you don't know who to go to really get it. And sometimes there's nowhere else to go except to the Lord.
Right.
And we have a tendency sometimes to go everywhere else except to Him.
Yep,
don't
right.
We? We're dependent on ourselves because we think we've got all the answers and we can do it on our own. Or else we've got some others that we have confidence in, faith in, whether it be a pastor or a neighbor or maybe a family member. And we'll go to them before we actually go to the Lord.
Right.
And He's the last one we call on sometime. And that ought not be so. We ought to go to Him first. That ought to be the first place we approach and the first one we approach. But many times we're, because of our experience and because we've been at it a while, we think maybe we, can work this out on our own. And that's not a good attitude to take, but we're guilty of that. But I thought about this, that is, sometimes we need physical help. And as you grow older, some of these things begin to affect you. And our brother was talking about, when he preached here the other day, he was talking about some health issues that he had, the Lord took care of. And I've had some health issues myself. I'm diabetic. I tell them I'm just too sweet in my old age is all. But diabetes does affect you in a lot of different ways and will affect you in a lot of different ways. And here a while back, I was preaching at Tabernacle just before I resigned as pastor. And I was preaching. And two or three times I had the problem when I would finish my message and I would bow my head to pray for the invitation. I would feel like I was going to faint. I just have that fainting sensation. And it happened to me on a Wednesday night to start with, and I thought it was my sugar. And I thought maybe my sugar dropped. And when I found out it wasn't, my sugar was okay. Matter of fact, it was elevated instead of dropping. And I told my wife, I said, you need to drive home. And then on another occasion, on a Wednesday night, I was preaching, and it happened again. And I got sort of disoriented, in a way, And we almost had revival that night because they thought I was overcome with emotion. But it wasn't that. I was having some health issues, but I didn't say anything. And then on a third occasion, it happened, and I told my wife, I said, you're going to have to drive home tonight. I had that problem again. And I went home that Sunday night, checked my sugar, found out it was okay. And so I rested well overnight, and the next morning, on Monday morning, I got up to go to the church, and I was in the bathroom getting ready, and I had a fainting feeling again. And I got over that, so I got ready, and I got in my car, started up the road, and I was going on a frontage road along Interstate 85. And I thanked the Lord more than once that I wasn't on Interstate 85. Because I remember starting down that road, but that's all I remember, just the start down that straightaway. And I hit a curb and hit a mailbox or two, and it startled me back to consciousness. And I realized something was really going on. So I pulled over into the median and sat there for a moment and gained my composure and called my daughter. She was waiting on me at a restaurant to eat breakfast with me. And I called her and asked about a brother that does wrecker service. And I said, is he there? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, tell him he needs to come pick my car up. And she said, what happened, Dad? I said, well, I fainted or passed out, and I messed my car up. And I said, I need you to come and pick me up and take me to the hospital and see what's going on here. And so I went to the hospital. And when I walked in, the young lady that had graduated from our day school, she was a nurse there at the hospital. And she said, Dr. Aiken, what are you doing here? And I told her, and she said, well, sit down here in this wheelchair. I'll take you on back. And so she took me on back to the emergency room, and they began to hook me up, you know how they do, and all that stuff, and they hooked me up. And I found, finally, they brought a doctor in, Dr. Rubenstein. And he came into my room, and he said, I'm Dr. Rubenstein, and I'm doing surgeries today, and they wanted me to come and talk to you and check you out. So he talked to me, asked me some questions, and I answered his questions, and he just stood there and leaned up on the little sink there in that little room, and he looked at my monitor. And it might have been 2 or 3 minutes, I don't know exactly. And he said, oh, I know what's wrong with you. And he said, it's not life-threatening at this point. He said, I'm doing surgeries today, and I'll just work you in. I said, okay. I didn't know what he was going to charge me or anything. He said, I'll just work you in. And I said, fine. And so about in a few minutes, he told me, he said, now what this is doing is, he said, it's in your heart. And he said, you got heart problems. He said, your heart has an arrhythmia. And he said, there's electric shocks that your heart has built in. And from birth, you got an extra one. These are impulses that keeps the heart beating in time. And he said, what I can do is, if it works, he said, if your heart will respond, I'm going to go up into a vein, not an artery, but a vein into your heart. And I'll cauterize or do an ablation on that one spot. And when I do that, if it works, you'll be okay. If it doesn't work, then you may have to have a pacemaker. I said, okay. And so about 5 o'clock, they came and got me and took me into the operating room and got me set up, you know, and they didn't put me to sleep, just laid a cloth over my head, you know. I'm laying there and they're working on me. They deadened the place and went up in my heart, and in a little bit they backed out and he told me I was okay and that he's able to do the job, and they put me in a room overnight, and I stayed overnight and didn't have any more problems. He came in the next day, and he said, you have any problem overnight? And I said, no, sure didn't. And he said, well, I'm going to send you home. Just don't be out in the heat, and don't be bending over, and don't be lifting anything, and don't be working physical labor for a while, and don't drive. And he said, I'll see you such and such a time. I said, okay. And so I went home. Never had any more problem. I went back to his office, and And he checked me over. They did an EKG, and everything seemed to be okay with my heart. And while he was standing there in the emergency room, I said to him, I said, Rubenstein. I said, isn't that a Jewish name? And he said, yes, it is. I said, you're Jewish? He said, yes. I said, what do you think about Jesus Christ? I said, could I tell you about the Lord Jesus? He said, not today. You're in my temple of worship now. And he cut me off. He wouldn't let me talk to him about the Lord. But, you know, when that happened to me, I didn't know what was going on. And I'm going to tell you, I was concerned about it.
Sure.
Amen. But I'm glad that there was help on the way.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about Dr. Rubenstein.
Right.
He was a good doctor. He did his job and he did it well. And I haven't had any more trouble. And I go right on mowing my own grass and doing my own weed eating and so forth and so on. But when things like that happen, where do you go?
Right.
But to the Lord. Amen.
Right.
And you may have had some situations like that. You may have had other things that's happened to you. And physical problems sometimes will cause us to need help. And we need our help, know that our help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
But then sometimes there's spiritual help needed.
Right.
You ever need spiritual help?
Yes.
Spiritual encouragement?
Yes.
Spiritual advice in situations that you're going through? My wife and I, we were dealing with some problems relative to this transition that we were working in. She, not so much as I, because I'd been pastor 40 years and been pastor at Tabernacle 21 years, and the church was wonderful to us, and they were taking care of us. I mean everything, and we didn't want for anything, and of course we give the Lord the glory and the honor. But when you come to those situations and transition comes,
right,
and maybe the Lord is moving you in a different direction than you were before. And do you ever get into an anxious situation sometime?
Right.
And I went through a time of anxiety because I didn't know what the future was.
Right.
I didn't have a car payment. I didn't have a house payment. I didn't have an insurance payment. I mean, everything was taken care of. But when I resigned almost 3 years ago in December and a new pastor came to Tabernacle, all that quit.
Right. Yeah.
You'll say, well, you wasn't worried about that, were you? Yeah.
Yes.
Because I didn't know where the next bill was coming from. I said to you, my wife and I have enough to live on, but that's a big cut in income.
Sure.
When you do that. And that was a transition I was going through. Yeah, I had to think about that. But you know, I came to this conclusion. The Lord's met my need all these years, and I've been in the ministry over 60 years, and I had to come to the conclusion, hey, if He could do it for 60 years, He can do it now.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And He can take care of it now.
Yeah.
So where do you go but to the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. And so sometimes there's physical problems, sometimes there's spiritual problems, sometimes there's emotional problems. And emotionally, we get upset.
Right.
And we need somebody to talk to, somebody to confide in. And what better one to confide in than the Lord Himself?
Amen. Amen.
Well, as we look at this psalm, and I'll give you several things in relation to this psalm tonight. And you just write them down, and we'll just sort of outline this psalm. It will outline itself almost in the sermon tonight. So look at these thoughts tonight, who will please. I want you to see, first of all, the seeing of our help. Look at verse 1 and 2. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, I don't believe David was necessarily concerned about the hills bringing him help.
No.
But the idea of his lifting up his eyes to look up into the hills implies a looking up unto the Lord. I think David was saying, I'm looking unto the Lord. My help comes from the hills, but my help is coming from the Lord. Amen. And that's where we have to look. We need to see where our help comes from.
Amen.
As I said in the outset of the message, sometimes we look other places.
Yes.
And we look to other people. And we look to other situations.
Right.
And we try to work these things out on our own. But what we ought to do is commit it unto the Lord. And just say, here, Lord, here's the help. You say, well, that's simple, yes. But it's not always simple when it's happening to you.
Right.
And it's not always simple when it's happening to me.
Right.
And some of you tonight, you may be dealing with health issues and situations physically that gives you a real problem. And boy, if you're not dependent on the Lord, then you'll get destitute.
Yes.
You'll get discouraged. You'll get despondent about it.
Right.
And then you may have some spiritual problems you're dealing with. And you need to turn unto the Lord and look unto the Lord. So lift your eyes and look up. Amen.
Amen.
Your help comes from the Lord,
that's
which
right.
made heaven and earth. I'm glad David put that in there, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Which made heaven and earth. Because if the Lord could make heaven, and the Lord could make this earth, and the Lord could create as He has, and if the Lord could make me and make you, hey, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. As Dr. Seidler often said in his preaching, has it occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Has it occurred to us that nothing takes God by surprise?
Amen.
And anything that happens to you and me, regardless of what it may be, God knew it was going to happen before it happened. He knew it was coming. And you say, well, why didn't He prepare us for it? Well, the Lord's able to take us through whether He prepares us for it or not. And He's able to bring us through the testing time, bring us through the temptation time, bring us through the difficult situations. He's able to do that regardless
right.
of whether He tells us about it in advance.
Right.
And to be honest about you, I'm glad He doesn't tell us.
Yes, sir. Right.
Or at least I'm glad He doesn't tell me. Because
yeah. right.
if the Lord told me that I was going to be having diabetes, and I've been diabetic now 25 to 30 years, then I'd have been all upset because my grandma was diabetic. My mother was diabetic. I've got two older sisters that are diabetic. And I've seen what they've gone through in situations, you know. I'd have been a little bit discouraged about that.
Right.
And if I'd have known that I was going to start having trouble with my heart, you know, as I did, I'd have been discouraged about that. But the Lord didn't tell me about that. And, you know, over the years, there's been problems and difficulties, whether it was in the family or whether it was in the ministry or on the job or whatever, that have come my way that, hey, I didn't know until it came.
Right.
And there have been situations with you, and you weren't informed by the Lord before it happened
right.
either.
Right.
And let me say, there's going to be times in your life in the future that you probably won't know what's coming your way
right.
until it comes.
Right.
And so here we can find out that God knows all about it even before it happens.
Amen.
And He knows the outcome too. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now I can't see past the night.
Right.
I really can't see back past the next moment because I don't know what's going to happen the next moment. But I know one who does.
Amen.
Amen. And we can look to Him because He knows the future.
Amen.
He knows the end from the beginning. And He sees it all. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Well, David said, I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the Lord. From under the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord that made heaven and earth.
Amen.
And I want to say to you, if God can do that, He can take care of any little old problem you and I may have.
Yes, sir.
There's no problem too big for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And there's nothing too hard for Him, the Bible
That's
says.
Right.
Isn't that a blessing? So we need the seeing of our help. We need to see where our help comes from.
Amen.
And then also, number two, we need to see the source of our help. And I've already alluded to that, so I'm not going to do anything but read the verse. Look at verse number 2. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You know, I was blessed by the people of Tabernacle Baptist Church, and they took care of my need. But you know, the Lord has certainly met my need.
Amen.
I have no complaint at all. The last 3 years, I've traveled the roads. I've gone from church to church, place to place, mission field to mission field, and the Lord's taken care of it all.
Amen.
And you can look at me and tell I hadn't missed any meals. Amen. And I'm thankful that I've got clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, and I got a roof over my head and food on the table and a nice car to drive and ride in that's comfortable. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, sir.
I've got a wonderful wife, 3 children, 3 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and a preacher boy grandson. Well, the Lord's blessed us and blessed us greatly. And I've got enough coming in to take care of my needs and meet the needs that we have. Isn't that a blessing? The Lord's done all that. Amen. The Lord's done all that.
Right.
And you've experienced some of those same things I know, and I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. But doesn't it bless you just to be thinking about it? Amen. All over again to remember what the Lord does for our hearts and lives. Well, let me give you a third one. Not only the seeing of our help and the source of our help, but the sustaining of our help. I'm glad the Lord is a sustainer. Amen. Look at verse 3 and 4. He said, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel, or he that keepeth thee, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
Amen.
Now, I've often made this statement, that if the Lord doesn't slumber or sleep, then why do we, both of us, need to stay up all night?
Yeah. Right.
Now, there was a time that I went through a time, like I said, of anxiety. You ever had anxiety attacks? You ever been anxious about things? You know, the word anxiety or the word anxious means to be worried.
Right.
And you know, worry is sin.
Right.
Isn't that what the Bible says over in Philippians? He said, be anxious for nothing.
Right.
But by prayer and supplication, committed unto the Lord. And what Paul said? Well, if he said, be anxious for nothing, then that means if we're anxious, that means we're sinning.
Right.
Because the Lord said not to. And so but I went through a time, but I was worried about some things. I was anxious about some things. And I'd never had that to happen to me in all my life. Never been anxious about that. I never worried about anything. And I told my mother, I kidded my mama one time. I said, Mom, if you didn't have something to worry about, you'd worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, ladies may be more worrisome than others. And feel with worry than others. And sometimes we men, we don't worry about anything. We just go and bluster through life and we don't worry about anything. Bless God, we can take care of it. We got the answers, we got the strength, and we know what to do, and we're not going to worry about it. Well, I had that attitude too. But I went through some things in recent years that, hey, I was anxious about it.
Sure, right.
Amen. I was anxious. And I needed the help of the Lord.
That's right.
And I had to come to this conclusion, hey, if He's going to stay up all night and He doesn't slumber or sleep, no need both of us staying up.
Amen.
So now I just go to bed and go to sleep, and the Lord gives me rest. And at least I do sleep some. But I'm up and down all night, and I won't say what I'm doing, but none of your business on that. But anyway, but those things happen to you when you get old, especially if you're diabetic, and the older you are, the worse it gets. But I'm glad that I can get up and take care of what needs to be taken care of and go back and lie down and go to sleep.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Amen. And I don't lay awake worrying about things all night long.
Amen.
I was talking to a wife here the other night. I was, I forget where I was in a meeting. And we were talking, and it was at night, and she said, did you rest well last night? I said, yeah, I did. And she said, good. And she can't go with me a lot because she's a nurse, and so she's still working a job. She's 74. You say, when's she going to retire? Well, she said, maybe when I'm 75, and now she's close to 70. She's 74 plus, and now she's looking toward 80. She said, I might be able to make it till I'm 80. And I said, yeah, and when you get to 80, you're going to say, well, I believe I can make it till I'm 85. And it's going to keep going, you know. But anyway, she was concerned about my being able to rest. And I'm thankful that the Lord gives me rest.
Amen.
He doesn't slumber or sleep.
Amen.
And He's awake all hours of the night. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
And He oversees us. Isn't that wonderful? Well, He's our sustainer. He will keep us. He'll keep us from falling. And it'll keep us from failing. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes.
And Jude 1, 24 and 25. Now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with eternal joy. Isn't that a blessing to know that He's able to keep us and He sustains us on our way? And then let me give you a fourth one here. And I'm moving on to the end. I'm glad that He also strengthens us.
Right.
We have strengthening in our help. In verse 5 and 6, look at what the Bible says. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Amen. I'm glad the Lord's able to strengthen us. in time of need. Amen. And he gives us strength. He said, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And as you get older, you don't have the strength you one time did. I can remember when, we had a larger house and a larger yard, and I could go out in the morning and start and work all day long in the yard and have no problem at all. Now, I go out and I work a little while, and I got to go in and get something to drink, sit down and rest a while. Then go back out and work a little more, and then I have to go back in and rest a little while. You have that problem? The older you get, your strength wanes. And you can't do what you one time did. And even in the service of the Lord and in the ministry, you're not able to go like you one time did. Hey, I can, years ago, it didn't bother me, get up and start out in the morning and go. When I first went with Dr. Seidler and worked under him, I was running the day school and the Bible college and preaching when he was gone and visitation and that sort of thing. And it was, start out about 7 a.m. and get home at 10 o'clock at night. And that was 7 days a week almost. And I was in my 20s and 30s and didn't bother me. I could do that. Not anymore.
Right.
Hey, sometimes when we're in these meetings and I like the night that we're going to go back, to eat again. But there'll be a time when I'll excuse myself. And I'm going to go to the motel and do some horizontal meditation.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I can't go like a one-time dead. And there was a time when I'd finish a meeting and, boy, been there for the week or been there for 2 or 3 days and you want to go home to mama.
Yeah.
You men know what I'm talking about. And when they said amen and I get packed up, I'm heading down the road. I'm going to stay another night in the motel. I'm going to go home. It didn't bother me now. Hey, I can't do that. Can't do that. So when the meeting's over, I've got to stay another night in the motel because I can't drive at night like I used to. I was over in the old Kentucky camp meeting and I was preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night in a church. And I purposed that Sunday afternoon. I went ahead and checked out on Sunday morning out of the motel. And I said, that service is at 6 o'clock. And I'll be done by 7:30. And it's about 7.5 hours home. I believe I can make it home. But I didn't get away like that. Preacher wanted to go out to eat. And we fellowship. I got away about 9 o'clock. And I said, I'm not going to get another motel room. I'm going home. And I hit the road home. And at 4:30 in the morning, I pulled into my garage. And I told my wife, never again. I think it took me the next week to get over that. Amen. So I don't do it. I'm not going to do that anymore. Amen. But I'm glad the Lord can give you strength. And I'm thankful for the strength He provides. And I'm glad that I can still go and do what I'm doing. And I'm thankful to the Lord for the strength that He gives. But I'm just not as young as I used to be. And some of you men shaking your heads as well. Let me give you the last thing and I'm done. But notice this. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. From this time forth and even forevermore. I like that word preserve there, don't you? Amen. I'm glad we're preserved by the Lord. And James chapter number 1 tells us that. The Lord has preserved us as far as our salvation is concerned. And thankful for God's preservation that He does in our lives. And He says not only is He going to preserve us, but it's going to be forevermore. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved eternally, aren't you?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm thankful for the Lord's preservation. Now this chapter, and you've no doubt dealt with this chapter before, and I haven't said anything that you probably don't already know. But we need to see where our help comes from.
Amen.
We need to know the source of our help, and that's God who made heaven and earth. And we likewise need to know that He's able to sustain us in any situation of life.
Amen.
And I've mentioned some things in relation to myself because I probably know me better than I know anybody else. But you can apply that to your own life because you have situations come your way.
Amen.
And you're going to have others who are going to come your way. Some of you, as I look around the building, I know you've had some health issues. And you've had some situations you've dealt with. And the Lord's been there all the time to sustain you and help you and keep you going. Hey, there's some discouraging times in there in the ministry. It's not always up, you know, on the mountaintop. And we don't say anything to folk. People ask me, said, "How's Tabernacle going?" I said, "Wonderful, praise God, amen."
Yes.
And people would think, well, they don't have any problems at all. Well, that's not true.
Right.
There's problems, but I'm not going to tell you about them.
Right.
If I don't tell anybody, tell the Lord, but I'm going to tell you about it. But I can say, you know, concerning Tabernacle, Dr. Logan's doing a great job. Amen. And things are going well, and I thank the Lord for that. But does he have problems now and then? Yeah, there's problems come. And you have problems in your ministry. But aren't you glad God can sustain you in those times and difficulties that come our way? I was in a church just about a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, I guess. I believe 2 weeks ago I was in a church, and they've gone through a split. And a bunch of people had left. I don't know how many. The preacher didn't tell me. But I preached this message on a Sunday morning. God just seemed to impress upon my heart to preach this message. And the preacher wrote me a letter this past week, and he said, "I just want you to know you were a great help to me. You were a great help to my church when you preached that message." And I'm thankful for that, because the Lord can sustain, and he will, and he'll continue to bless. And why he allows sometimes these things to come our way, I don't know. No one likes to see people leave and go and, you know, church split and all that kind of thing. We don't like to see that. But sometimes the Lord allows that to happen. And for whatever reason. But aren't you glad he's able to sustain you even in that and sustain the work? I'll tell you, I would have been saddened if I had seen Tabernacle go to nothing. And all these missionaries, we support 300 missionaries on the foreign fields on a monthly basis. And it would have been awful for Tabernacle to go to nothing. And those missionaries, you know, lose support. I didn't want to see that. And then we got that children's home with 35 kids in the home. We were taking care of, providing everything for them. Plus the Bible college training preachers and teachers and so forth. And then the radio stations as well. And the mission board and all these things going on. I'm so glad that God is sustaining the work. Amen. And not just keeping it going, but it's moving forward to the Lord's glory. Isn't that a blessing to know? And that's certainly what I would desire to have. And so I'm glad the Lord can sustain and strengthen. But I'm glad likewise that he can secure us. I'm glad I have security in him. Not only for my salvation, but security in the ministry too. Amen. And I'm glad that the Lord keeps me and preserves me day by day. Amen. Well, I appreciate you letting me preach and hope it's been a blessing. And nothing new. But as Dr. Garrett sometimes says, if it's new, it's probably not true.
Right.
And if it's, amen. And if it's true, it's probably not new. Amen.
Right.
Somebody has preached it before.
That's right.
Dr. Sider, a young man asked him one day, he said, "Dr. Sider, can I preach your sermons?" He said, "Son, help yourself, because there's nothing new under the sun. And you can't copyright the Word of God."
Right.
And he said, "Not only that, I probably got it from somebody else myself." So help yourself. Amen. And so I'm thankful that the Lord has given a ministry for my latter years. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Praise the Lord. Will you pray for me? Well, let's have prayer, and I'll turn it over to the preacher. Our Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I realize that there's been nothing new. And many of these missionaries, they've experienced good times and bad. These pastors that are here have experienced good times and bad. There's those, Lord, in this building now that I know of, that have physical ailments and problems that they're dealing with. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless them and help them and encourage them. And Lord, I don't know. I'm sure these missionaries and pastors don't share all the problems that they're facing. And neither would I. But Lord, you know about them all. And I pray you'll just bless them and help them and encourage them in their problems and difficulties that they face day by day. And we're glad, Lord, that our help comes from you. And you're well able, Lord, to help us in any situation of life. There may be some families going through difficulties and problems right now. And maybe they don't see the end and they don't see the light. They're in a dark situation. The Lord help them to know their help comes from you.
Yes.
And they lift up their eyes and look on to you and look unto you and find help they need in this time of need. Thank you for the grace and help that you give us in time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.